This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Why doesn't eHarmony allow copy and paste in first messages? Because you are unique, and your conversations should reflect that. eHarmony wants you to find someone who will get you. How are you going to know who gets you? If people send you the same generic conversation starters, they message everyone else. Conversations that actually help you get to know each other. Imagine that. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It was an Irish peace and conflict expert.
Ja, det är en otrolig dialekt. Så ni som inte är med i det här aktivisttåget, så kan ni bara lyssna för dialekten.
Dagens aktivism borde vi lägga in på den här kanske.
Det gör vi.
I marxism och barnen, dagens aktivism. Han var skitbra. Mysig röst, men också väldigt rimlig och väldigt... otroligt påläst såklart. Fick också lite mothugg av svenska akademiledamoten Åsa Wikfors. Och det var kul med få lite...
lite nyans.
Ja, men precis.
Lite dragkamp.
Lite dragkamp. I agree, 50-55% of what you said. Not a single percent more. Han var underbar. Hoppas ni lyssnar och delar gärna. Det här behöver folk höra.
Ja, yes. Verkligen.
Puss på er.
Hej.
Kulturmarxister, sionister, nyliberalist. Här är ni ett forum, dags för dagens aktivist.
Nu har jag råkat göra en sak här. Vi ska prata lite grann med en konflikt- och fredsforskare. Brendan Kieran Brown från Trinity College Dublin- Och Agge, om du flyttar lite grann på dig så kan ni nog faktiskt få se honom på skärmen. Det hela är väldigt högteknologiskt. Också. Och vi ska se vad han helt enkelt tänker om det som just nu händer i Gaza och Palestina och så vidare. Hur ser det ut här nu? Har jag gjort någonting fel eller så? Hello Brendan, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Hey, can you see me?
Yes, I can see you.
Yeah. I'm here with my fabulous bunch of people here. This is Virve and Julie from the school paper Latin Lovers. This is philosopher Åsa Wikfors, member of the Swedish Academy, you know, the Nobel Prize in the literature.
Nice to meet you. Nice to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, this is Cornelia. She's our intern from Kalmar. And that's August Bolin, my sound guy and sidekick and friend.
Wow, there's so much tech in this room. Oh my God. and a bar. Cool.
So much what in this room? What would you say?
Technology.
Oh, yeah, we have a lot of technology and a lot of neon signs as well.
You see that? Yeah, it's an assault on the senses for so early in the morning.
I haven't. We talked earlier about Åsa. She studied at Columbia, and we tried our English, and I realized my English is really it's been resting for a long time and it's not that good. I'm sorry in forehand for my bad English right now. You are a conflict resolution and a conflict expert, researcher. What's the correct term?
Oh, I hate the term expert on anything. So I would say I'm an assistant professor of conflict resolution at Trinity College in Dublin.
Cool. And what's your thoughts about what is happening right now on any level or like where do you think this is going with this conflict in Palestine?
Well, I mean, my thoughts on it are it's catastrophic. It's one of the most devastating conflicts that's playing out before our eyes on our screens, you know, on our laptops and everything. We're seeing a genocide in real time, you know. It's absolutely devastating. And that is the million-dollar question you've asked me there in terms of where this is going. I guess it depends who you speak to be honest. I mean, a lot of reports are coming out of the region at this moment in time that says the Israeli army are preparing to a ground offensive into Rafah, which is where the vast majority of displaced Palestinians in the Gaza Strip are currently based. And if that happens, we're looking at unimaginable catastrophe here. Thousands and thousands of lives will be lost. So that's the really devastating scenario that we're faced with. And of course, there's lots of other things happening behind the scenes. There's very high level diplomatic work happening as well, and negotiations taking place currently as we speak in Riyadh, but also inside Israel as well, I'm sure, no doubt. But it's just devastating, man, to be honest.
Yeah. How did you get into this? How did your interest and engagement in this conflict start?
That's a good question. So I first visited Palestine in 2009. I was invited over by just a friend of mine who was doing some voluntary work in a place called Jalazon refugee camp outside Ramallah. And he just sent me a mail, said, you're interested in human rights. You're doing a master's in human rights law. You got to get out and see this. And so I did. And the minute I was there, you know, the minute that you spend any time in Palestine, you can't unsee what you've seen. You cannot see anything but apartheid, anything but occupation, anything but one group dominating the other. And from that moment in 2009, I've spent the rest of my professional, personal, academic career, everything has been dedicated towards working in and for Palestine. So so that's kind of how I got into it. It's not like I had some, personal epiphany back in Belfast and then I decided I must do this. But it was a bit serendipitous, and it's literally become everything since then.
And when you came back to your normal life at home, did you feel like you wanted to explain to the people around you what you had seen, or did you feel like they didn't understand, or did people listen or not understand?
Yeah, I mean, there's a bit of that. I guess I felt compelled. You know, you do come back from the region feeling like you need to scream and shout about it. You know, it's our duty as human beings to advocate for those who are oppressed in this way. So yeah, I did, and you know, I find a very receptive audience. I have to say, the people in Belfast and the people in Ireland are somewhat pre sort of disposed or sort of automatically empathetic when it comes to people living under colonial occupation and colonial rule. So it was a receptive audience for the most part. So I didn't find that too difficult.
Cool. And what is the most interesting thing you've learned about this conflict during all your years. So you can just give us 10 years of education boiled down in 2 minutes.
Well, the most interesting thing, I mean, that's such a hard question to answer.
I mean, I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. I mean, I would say I'm going to shift it a little bit and say the most inspiring thing for me is the resilience, the determination, the steadfastness of the Palestinian people who have resisted against this for, 75 years and continue to do so more determined than ever. I mean, if people think that the Palestinian population are going to in some way crumble and roll over and die and just and give up their legitimate demands for self-determination, they absolutely have no understanding of the Palestinian people. So I guess that's one of the most interesting things I say. It's also fascinating and deeply troubling to see how much the Western world is complicit in facilitating what is happening on the ground. When you think about the American policy in the region, when you think just how bare, naked support for the Israeli war machine that the Americans have been engaging in, I mean, that I guess is extremely worthwhile to keep our mind on. And of course, we in Europe as well, Europe has revealed it very clearly where its alliances and its allegiances lie in this moment as well. So I guess that's pretty stark and pretty interesting, and something that I certainly have become more aware of. Mm.
The Israeli historian Ilan Pape has said that he thinks this is the beginning of the end of this colonial project. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, Ilan's one of the most... He's one of the foremost scholars in this region. He's published extensively on this, and he's been involved in so much advocacy around Palestine and Palestinian liberation. So when Ilan speaks on something like that, you have to accept his authority on it. I want very strongly to believe his sentiments. I want very strongly to think that this is indeed the end of everything that is going on in terms of the occupation, in terms of the apartheid that's happening, and I do think in many ways he's right, because I don't see how Israel's reputation as a global state is going to recover from this. I mean, I think you will probably see very clearly now that Israel has damaged its reputation beyond belief in this. And that's why connecting it to the United States and connecting it to Europe as well is so significant. And when Ilan says that, he also caveats that point. He says, but that's not necessarily going to happen tomorrow. Settler colonial regimes will end eventually, but it could take a lot of effort and a lot more time before we actually see this happening. And unfortunately, and devastatingly, as they come to an end, settler colonial regimes become even more erratic, even more violent, even more genocidal, dare I say. So it's not really great comfort. I mean, it's great comfort in the sense that we know something coming to an end is good, but it's, this is going to be very, very brutal. Mm.
Any thoughts from my beloved colleagues around the bar table?
Isn't it that the Israelis don't have access to, that they are very brainwashed, that there isn't a lot of information, or I don't...
I mean, yeah, they have, having talked to a couple of my Israeli anti-Zionist friends who live in London. I mean, they were telling me the situation, the news that they get is extremely, extremely one-sided. I mean, if you look at Israeli polls at the moment, there's a lot of support for the actions of the government. There's a lot of support for the actions of the army. The army is completely embedded within the fabric of Israeli society. But I don't buy this argument that Israelis don't know. That's a way of giving them and out. You know, there's plenty, people have access to alternative forms of information. I mean, you know, any time, you know, I've spent, as I say, a lot of time in the region, over 14 years, I can tell you that Israelis have access to all the other news outlets that we do. Al Jazeera is there. But, you know, it's up to them what they choose to look at. Yeah.
They need to look up some alternative facts, like we talked about earlier here with the WhatsApp. But they have talked about being able to block.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Fuck Al Jazeera, because it's a threat to the nation's security.
Yeah, they did, I'm not sure if that was successful. I mean, their most successful attempt at blocking Al Jazeera was murdering the Al Jazeera journalists. I mean, I was there in Jerusalem at the funeral of Shireen Abu Akleh, who the Israeli army murdered in Jenin last year. Mm. So, I mean, regardless of whether or not they block things, they also go out of their way to actually kill journalists. I mean, there's over 100 journalists in Gaza have been murdered by the Israelis as well. So. But I just think, you know, if we shouldn't allow the general public such an easy pass with this, you know, go and find out your alternative information. Mm. I mean, they cannot, they're so deeply embedded within looking west, you know, they will see what's going on American campuses around the world for sure. So, you know.
Yeah, people have called me radicalized, and I'm thinking I'm getting deprogrammed for my brainwashing, more like that.
Yeah, I mean, we have to unthink these things, don't you? You have to go and challenge the orthodoxies that you've been taught, and that's been this, you know, the great success of the Israeli state and of the Israeli reality has been able to sell this myth of what it is and what they experience and whatever else. And, you know, and the best way to do that is to go and spend some time in the region, you know, go and visit, go and see it for yourself, and then come back and tell me that you're in any way still a believer that one group is not committing an occupation and apartheid against the other. It's literally impossible.
Mm. I mean, I think it's really important to remember too in this context that Israel democracy is under threat, right? So to understand how badly all of this is going now, you have to understand that the government is in the hands of right-wing extremists. And huge, huge, large parts of the population have been trying to protest against this in a very dedicated way now for a while. And so I really don't... I mean, as always, when you have non-democratically inclined leaders, things go really badly. And that's part of what's going on now. And one has to remember that large groups in Israel are not for this government. They want an election desperately now, and they're not getting it. And that would change things if Netanyahu lost power.
That I agree with 50% of what you say there. I agree with 50%. In the sense that it is factually correct to state that there were large, huge demonstrations, right, pre-October 7th, there were huge demonstrations on the streets of Tel Aviv, right? Absolutely correct. But these were demonstrations not calling for an end to the occupation. These were demonstrations not calling for a dismantling of the apartheid regime. These were demonstrations calling for Netanyahu to go, calling for Ben-Gvir, calling for Smotrich to be removed from the government, calling for the settlers to be reeled in. They were not protesting against what the blockade in Gaza.
No, I mean, that was...
But the point, sorry, the last point I would make is it's a fallacy to think that Israel is a democratic state. This is not true. There are 1.8 million Palestinians that live within the borders of Israel who do not enjoy the same, who do not enjoy the same freedoms, the same rights. They have second-class citizenship. So the notion that Israel is a democratic state has always been challenged by anybody that has done extensive work in the region. So, you know, and this is something we can't let them away with. This is not okay.
No.
So I agree with 55%.
I'd like more than that. No, look, absolutely. I mean, it was a flawed democracy, but it was heading towards an autocracy very fast. And that would have been even worse. And a lot of the people who were involved in these demonstrations were also people who were involved in Palestinian rights people. So you have to see that a large part of what's going on now is also killing all of that opposition that's been alive in Israel. So that, and I really don't. Yeah. And looking at it, the last couple of decades, it's been the extremists that have caused all the serious backlashes when it comes to strengthening Palestinian rights. So it's a horrible situation for a lot of people in Israel and obviously in Palestine as well.
Yeah, you know, I'm also thinking about these moderates like Golda Meir, who said there's no such thing as Palestinians. You know, people like Ehud Olmert and Barak and people like that.
Killed too, some of them, for trying to create peace, right?
Yitzhak Rabin was killed.
By
a radical settler. No, you're right. And I think there is a very serious point in all of this as well, which is the after moment, right? So where are the people that you have to then try and find a way of building a shared future with? I think that's a very serious point, right? And I think we're probably in agreement with that point.
Yeah, totally. This is where do we go from here? And you need those groups.
We need the partners for peace, but we also need a fulsome realization that the flawed partition of a space of land from the river to the sea has created this deep schism, this deep divide between people of faiths of all different backgrounds, and has created this moment that we're at now. You know, so we need a lot of different things to come together. And the sad thing, as you said, the sad thing is a lot of the lefty peacenik Israelis are gone. Right, they have left the country as well. This is the other thing. A lot have left.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're going to have to really try and sell the project back again to get people to return and engage with that. But, we'll wait and see. I'll not hold my breath too much.
Yeah, and there's a difference between peace and justice. You can have peace without justice.
Well, You can have a colonial peace.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, 100%. And peace has always been dangled in front of the Palestinians. Remember, peace has always been dangled in front. You know, the Oslo Accords were a supposed peace process, but that was nothing to do with peace. That was to do with pacification. It was to do with a way of kicking down the road any sort of engagement with some of the bigger topics, like the future status of Jerusalem, like the final borders, like the right of return for refugees. You know, these are major issues. And even just so you're talking about justice, I woke up this morning to the news, very serious news, that the International Criminal Court is about to issue arrest warrants for the senior leadership in Israel. That is the breaking news that I read this morning, coming from very well-placed sources in international law. Now, will that result in any change in direction? No, they'll probably just ignore it. But again, it's another example of the severity that we're witnessing. And if they do ignore it, never again will we ever listen to the credibility of some of these Western superpowers, you know, proclaiming human rights, democracy around the world, and doing, you know, facilitating what's going on here.
The protest at the universities in the United States, what do they tell you?
I mean, the students are unbelievable. They tell me they're very brave. They tell me that they're pro humanity. They tell me that they're fed up with the way that that some of the Western superpowers operate, and they're fed up with hypocrisy. And they tell me very clearly that they know that universities, especially in the United States, play a very key role when it comes to providing the inoculation for the genocidal regime. The money that is plowed into American universities from, you know, significant endowments, you know, and where this money comes from is problematic. And it shows me that the students understand very clearly the power of political protest, the power of demonstrations. I mean, 77 university campuses have erected these Gaza encampments across the United States. 77.
Wow.
That's huge. And it shows that they understand their history. This is what I like as well. They understand that the power is with the students, and, you know, and they have also, I'm sure everybody witnessing this has seen the way that the administrators have called in the cops, students being arrested, professors being arrested, people losing their jobs, sniper rifles being deployed on top of university buildings. Like, what is going on? So all power to the students, respect to the students, and I hope that they are successful.
Yeah. Well, Brendan, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. Please come back someday if you have time.
Thank you for having me, everyone, and thanks for having the conversation. It's important that we keep talking about Palestine. And,
and
having constructive debates that we disagree on, I think, is a helpful thing. So hopefully that came across.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you so much.
Peace, man.
Peace.
Peace.
Nu har jag kopplat ur min bumpermaskin så att det blev en liten pinsam tystnad.
Jag måste kila.
Ja, herregud. Du är ju long overdue. Du hade förkila när du vill, förklart. Och Åsa, stort tack för att du kom hit. Jättetrevligt. Hälsa din man Adam, dina barn, akademin. Och alla, lägg in ett gott ord för gott snack om du tyckte att det var trevligt.
Ja, tack så hemskt mycket. Tack,
trevligt att träffa er alla.
Mysigt.
Kom hälsa på Södra någon gång.
Ja, men jag har väldigt goda minnen från Södra. Mina döttrar var där.
Ja.
Båda två gick där. Och trivdes väldigt bra.
Så. Latin Lovers missar inte en chans att missa lite skoltid. Sitter upp så kvar, jättemysigt.
Verkligen.
Visst är det härligt med irländare också?
Oh, Gud,
alltså det är
älskar.
Ett sånt jävla mysigt fråga. Jag vill bara sitta på en pub och lyssna på dem prata.
Jag håller med. Sexigt ju med irländska.
Ja.
Inte för att...
Eller? Va?
Men liksom sexig dialekt.
Eller hur? Mm. Ja, det är skitmysigt verkligen. Ireland. I want to go to Ireland. Har du varit i Irland någon gång?
Nej, men jag blev lite kär i en irländare. Fast på en serie då. Outlander. En serie
Outlander.
Som är... väldigt bra.
Aha.
Men jag tror aldrig jag skulle kolla om den.
Nej, så kan det ju vara. Hur ofta kollar man om? Ja, vissa kan få kolla om Sex and the City.
Jag har sett Sopranos ett par gånger.
Ja, det kan jag tänka.
Och Band of Brothers.
Men jag kan faktiskt inte förstå folk som kollar om grejer hela tiden.
Det är trygghetsgrejer. Typ, min kille kollar Grey's Anatomy, men han har kollat bara 10. Han kan varenda replik.
How I Met Your Mother har också kollat om en del.
Ah,
det är väldigt mysigt. Mm.
Jag kollar om Notting Hill, alltså filmen, väldigt ofta.
Vid jultid eller?
Nej,
men det är inte Love Actually, nej, tänker jag på.
Men den har man ju kollat några gånger också.
Mm.
Nej, gillar inte trygghet.
Nej,
det här man
nytt.
Ja, nytt och fräscht och spännande.
Har ni någon gång kollat om ett riktigt bra porrklipp som ni känner så här, den här jag måste jag bookmarka för den var så bra.
kan man bookmarka på?
Det känns som en internetfunktion man inte använder så ofta. Alltså, internet explorer, man vill bokmärke. Liksom,
man vill ju ta bort alla spår, inte bygga spår.
Det här är en fråga jag hade velat höra Åsa svara på.
Men är vi eftersnacket nu?
Ja, det blev så. Jag vill inte avbryta honom.
Nej, jag fattar. Men då kan vi avbryta oss själva nu. Bara säga, nu är vi eftersnacket.
Ja, det kan vi göra. Ja.
Lite tram. Och Jorge, min fucking broder, det är så synd att du har en annan moder, en annan fucking moder.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue checkmark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.